Iroquois Raja Native, June 30th, 2006.
Internet Radio for Intelligent Aboriginals.
Jeffrey Taj Birak Veramango, Viesta Siskut Raja Intelligent Aboriginal.
Mabuhay, Kumastana, this is the Angry Indian, and you are listening to the Radio Intelligent Aboriginal News Service, an indigenous podcast transmitting to the fourth world from within occupied North America. Welcome to Radio Intelligent Aboriginal. We would like to welcome back our listeners from New Zealand. Thanks so much for the support of emails. And we were asked to acknowledge the struggles of the Scandinavian Aboriginal peoples, the Sami. And we were also asked to recognize the Ainu by a listener in Osaka, Japan. Thanks for the emails. And yeah, I agree, there is not enough attention concerning indigenous struggles in Northern Europe or in Japan. We tend to forget that the Basque, that the Sami, that the Rom, even though they are from India, they are all over Europe, and we tend to forget that they exist sometimes. That's oversight on the part of a lot of people, including myself, but they are no less a part of the international indigenous movement of liberation. They are not separate from us. I mean, when you really get down to it, we all come from a common African ancestor. So we are technically all connected. Even though there are theories, some of you may have heard of the Iceman Inheritance, a book by a Canadian, a native Canadian, I might add, Michael Bradley. It's out of print now, which you can, if you really hunt around, you can still find copies of it. It's still distributed. But, you know, what it comes down to is, you know, we're all the same. You know, we're all human beings. And, the fact that we have some Europeans and those that they have influenced over the past 500 years that have tended to make this more of a race game or a ethnic game rather than actual, you know, class, you know, struggle, which is really what it is. And please don't label me a Marxist because I'm not a Marxist, and that really has nothing to do with it. He was a European who was writing to, he was a philosopher, and he was trying to deal with a European problem. He was dealing with the Industrial Revolution. It really didn't have anything to do with indigenous people. But the fact is, just like any other European system that has been introduced to indigenous folks, it always has to be twisted where things are done and seen Eurocentrically and not the way we see things. It's not involved in our paradigm. What most people would call Marxism or communism. We all know that communism has never existed. You know, hell of a good theory, I suppose, but there's never actually been a communist state. We've only had totalitarian states. You know, Lenin, Stalin, and possibly even Trotsky, had he lived, you know, this is what we would have seen. But in any case, these things do affect us. What happens in the rest of the world affects us. And we cannot be separated. And I would, you know, again, would like to thank those people for writing to us and letting us know here at Radio Intelligent Aboriginal that the struggle is not just in North America. It's not just in Canada. It's not just in Chiapas. It's not just in Bolivia, where they just had a successful revolution that is now causing the United States moneymakers, a lot of trouble, being that now the people are in control of their own resources. You know, I mean, you know, this is great news for indigenous people, but it's bad news for these multinational investors. But what I want to talk about today, what's going on today in international news, is the UN Human Rights Council approves text of Indigenous Rights Declaration. Now, it doesn't really sound like a big deal. In the long run, it probably isn't a big deal. But what it comes down to is, this is considered a historic vote, in which a standing ovation, you know, was given at those present, because the UN's Human Rights Council in Geneva this week approved the text of a declaration on Indigenous rights that is supposed to be recognized, of course, by everyone, you know, in the world, not just member nations, but, you know, all conscious nations, I should say, all those who give a damn about people. Now, this was first discussed over 20 years ago, and the draft declaration will now move to the UN General Assembly, where member countries are expected to vote on it later this year. So basically, you know, they're making a big deal about this, and they're saying, okay, yes, you know, we just had this historic vote, but it hasn't passed yet. It hasn't passed. Because, you see, if it's approved, the declaration will set a benchmark against which countries' treatment of tribal peoples can be judged. It's not, and it also goes on to state here that it's not legally binding. Now, I got this information from Survival International, which is an excellent resource coming out of Britain. Google it. I check it. Why should I get their email updates? And I suggest that you do the same. So, you know, I'm going by what they have here, which is from their correspondent at the UN. But the bottom line here that I'm trying to get through is, this is nothing. It means absolutely nothing. It means nothing. Okay, yes, big deal. You had this historic vote and it had a standing ovation. Okay, yes, big deal. But they then turn around and admit that even if it is approved by the General Assembly, where the member nations are expected to vote on it, we already know that the United States and Israel will not vote on it. We already know that. That's a done deal without me even having to wait to see what happens. I already know what's going to happen. They're going to vote against it. Those are the top two that I can guarantee. The rest, well, you know, Saudi Arabia might, they might not. You know, all the other countries they use torture, they might not. Who knows? Right? I mean, it's all a crapshoot when it comes to that. But regardless, whether they vote for it and pass it or not, whether it's approved or not, it really doesn't matter, because they then say right here in the text that even if it is approved, it is not legally binding. But we're supposed to be happy because it does recognize the rights of indigenous peoples to their land and to live as they wish. It also affirms, for example, that they should not be moved from their lands without their free and informed consent. Okay. Now, after the vote, the United Kingdom's representative cautioned that the UK does not have to accept the concept of collective rights in international law, a position that has made it to a target of the sustained campaign by indigenous people and Survival. Now, I'm reading the text here from Survival International. And, you know, it doesn't mean anything. Even the director of Survival International, Stephen Corey, said himself, and they have it here in the text, I'm reading it. At long last, the UN is moving towards properly recognizing the world's indigenous peoples, most of whom are still suffering disposition, many of whom are staring extinction in the face. It remains dismaying that the UK government's immediate response to the declaration is to deny the existence of collective rights. Now, what is this saying? It doesn't mean anything. It doesn't mean anything. So, you know, while everybody sits around and masturbates and says, oh yes, you know, this is a great thing, we made this historic vote, and we're going to save the pygmies, and, you know, we're going to save all the little, you know, brown people who are suffering, you know, the Sami, they might get a piece, and, you know, Taiwan, we're going to look at them. But the bottom line is, it doesn't mean anything, because there's nothing that they can do to make these states pay any attention to these laws. So the vote then is nonsense. And, you know, I mean, I like Survival International. I'm not criticizing them because, you know, they're reporting it. But, you know, I really wish they had a stronger tone to what they heard. You know, and I understand Stephen Corey is not, you know, he's not trying to push off what little support they get. What little support that we all get, those of us who are indigenous, who are paying attention to these issues. But the bottom line is, it doesn't mean anything if everybody involved can then turn around and say, well, it's not legally binding, which means, well, you know, our hands are tied and we're back to square one. But we do recognize their rights.
You know, and what bothers me the most about this is the attitude generally is that we should kiss ass. That we should kiss colonialist ass at that. Because they've recognized our right to, I guess, exist. Is that the same clause that Israel uses to explain away everything that they do? You know, wiping out entire communities, colonializing the Palestinians, mayhem, murder, kidnapping. Oh, no, that's right. It's called extraordinary rendition these days. Yes. Well, in any case,
More Native news. One of my favorite blogs, the Native blog, reported today, well, this is how I found out that Cecilia Firethunder was impeached. You know, this is a shame. Now, this woman has put up with so much in defense of Lakota rights that this last slap in the face, and brothers and sisters, let's face it, her people slapped her in the face. They did. You know, and what they did is really messed up what's left of any, you know, idea of sovereignty that we've had here, and probably the destiny of all Native people in the United States for the foreseeable future. Now, when prejudice against women in our societies gets to the point where American Indian Movement leader, and now you know who I'm talking about, Russell Means, ran for the presidency of the Lakota Nation against Cecilia Firethunder, and actually had the nerve to say that they should not elect her because she's a woman. Now, this is entirely contradictory to other stuff that you can find on the net, where he talks about the woman's place in Lakota culture. But that just shows you the level of conservancy, you know, that's running throughout Native country. These neocons have been pressing on Indians to accept their twisted American Taliban view of the world. And why we are buying into this, I have absolutely no idea. Maybe it has something to do with the American flags we fly at the powwows, yeah? You know, maybe we should think about that. Because it really has nothing to do with the vets. Most of those men were drafted. They had no choice. And those that went in, they did it just like my old man did it. He felt that by serving, that he would be making things easier for me. You understand what I'm saying? And when he came back here, and he went back to the South, he still was not allowed to sit, eat, where he wanted, live where he wanted, or look a white man in the eye. You dig what I'm saying? So, here it is, I'm watching in an Indian country. And I mean, you know, this is the kind of nonsense that makes neoconservative political coups in Indian politics possible. It makes it possible. We've already had an Indian neo-Nazi, right? Kill a relative, someone that the relative was with, an educator, and some of his schoolmates, and then himself, flittering around on neo-Nazi websites. Indian people, wake up. Wake up. Please. Wake up. Other news that can be found on the Voice of a Native Son blog at angryindian.blogspot.com, on the Intelligent Aboriginal News blog. I have listed an article by John Wiener. It's called "And a Lesson from the Churchill Inquiry," and he asked why it's imperative for some professors to lose their positions while others skate free. Now, he's talking about Ward Churchill, the Native American political activist that was fired this week from the University of Colorado. I mean, basically for his support of indigenous causes and his powerful opposition to American foreign policy, especially as it applies to Iraq. He lists another professor that was pretty much caught doing the same thing that Churchill, everything that Churchill's been accused of, but his case is treated quite differently, and I think you need to click on that link and go over and check it out. Also check out The Guardian UK, which found an Afghan witness that the U.S. claimed it couldn't find. More information on that. Common Dreams reports that Fahrenheit 911 Marine recruiter was killed in Iraq. You might remember him. He was the Marine recruiter that was trying to pick up the brothers in Michael Moore's Fahrenheit 911 at the mall. He was killed in Iraq yesterday. And Common Dreams also reports that 10 Grannies for Peace activists were arrested in Philadelphia. Man, Mother Jones, I don't know. If she is looking down on top of this, and you should remember Mother Jones, she was one of the best activists the United States ever produced. And it takes a woman. Trust me. It takes a woman sometimes. Ask AIM. Okay? Ask indigenous people. It takes a woman sometimes. And this is why I brought up what I brought up earlier about Russell Means. I can't believe that he said that. But these grandmothers walked into a recruiting station and they refused to leave until they were inducted so that they could take the place of young men and women in Iraq. That takes guts. That takes guts. Even for that Marine recruiter, I mean, he believed in what he believed in enough to go over there and do that, but the sad fact is he was lied to by his country, by the people in charge. So yeah, Mother Jones wouldn't like that either. And since we're talking about Iraq, let's get into the fact that the Associated Press reported that U.S. troops accused of killing Iraq families are being charged. And the U.S. State Department, of course, is called the breathing room, but the press is on this now, and it's just, they really at this point can't cover it up anymore. So, I think that's something. And again, while we're all in Iraq, Alternet reports that there was the Supreme Court decision on Thursday that ruled that the Guantanamo detainees, you know, their rights are being violated. And if you want to, you know, go over to the Huffington Post, you can check out what she has to say about the Bush administration not being able to get all of those 2,500 National Guardsmen they plan to put across the Mexican border. Because, you see, they're all in Iraq and Afghanistan, so they can't come over here and protect the homeland like he did while he was in the National Air Guard. For updates to the news presented in this podcast, visit angryindian.blogspot.com. And that's a wrap for this edition of Radio Intelligent Aboriginal News. As always, thanks for joining us. From Occupied North America, this is the Angry Indian for Radio Intelligent Aboriginal. Sigit.